Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, your host and also the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation. We are in our 30th year putting on our fabulous conference we put on every year. And this year it's online. It's a virtual conference, March 24th through the 27th. Our theme is celebrating our sacred pearls, nourishing the waters of the feminine. And we have amazing workshop presenters and some panel discussions on interesting topics for women. And also our keynote speakers are Rianne Eisler and Cynthia James. So I'm excited today to have one of our workshop presenters with us today, Jill Cruz. She is going to present a workshop, Be Present for a Successful and Healthy Life. Jill Cruz helps women over 40 that hate dieting to lose weight and feel great without being deprived. She has a master's of science degree in human nutrition and is a board certified nutrition specialist. Jill combines her strong science-based background with tons of practical nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle guidance, helping people strive to be the best versions of themselves. She's on a mission to guide women to achieve their wildest dreams for their health while loving the food they eat and the life they live. Her website is Jill Cruz, that's CRUZ.com. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, well, I'm glad to have you join. You were a late add to the conference. Someone couldn't make it. And so glad to have you for first time at our conference. And you're going to love it. So let's first talk about you. What motivated you to become a nutritionist?
Well, I actually was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition called Hashimoto's, which is a condition that affects the thyroid gland. This was about 12, 13 years ago, and it came as a complete shock to me. I thought I was super healthy. Apparently I wasn't. And that really triggered my desire to learn about how I could, you know, heal my body and just take care of myself in a way that wasn't about medications. Not that I am against medications. I still take the hormones now to this day, but I wanted to augment whatever it was that I was going to do medically with food. And I was also fascinated, and still to this day, I'm fascinated by the human body and all of its complexities. So it's been a great journey.
Yeah, well, our bodies are pretty amazing, and it's a miracle that most of us function without too much going wrong. And that's not the case for everybody. But what made you choose to help women with weight loss? I mean, it is a big concern in our country. We have a lot of, you know, we're known to have a lot of overweight people, and we struggle with this.
Yeah, and one thing that I've learned that I felt was really important along in my journey of helping women lose weight is that obesity and overweight should be in the proper classification it's a diagnosis code, right? So obesity actually is a diagnosable code, like type 2 diabetes or cardiovascular disease. And I think at this point we need to start thinking of it as a medical condition rather than a personality flaw. Which is basically the way it's seen as well. If you have overweight, if you have obesity, there's something wrong with you. You just need to eat less and move more, and you're lazy or you're just not committed. And it's like, well, no, it's actually much more complex than that for a lot of people. So I always like to point that out. So it is a problem. It's actually an epidemic in our country, and it definitely needs to be addressed. That was part of the reason that I decided to help people lose weight. What had happened was I worked in functional medicine, I worked with a functional medicine doctor. So they take a very holistic approach. So let's say somebody comes and they have Parkinson's. It's not just like, well, let's just give you some medications. It's more about digging a little bit deeper and finding out what are some of the root causes for these conditions. So I worked with her for 6 years, and she was brilliant, but what I saw over and over again was that obesity was often a causal factor for other much more serious, right, conditions. So cancer, type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's. So that I really wanted to help people to prevent the downstream effect that often happens when people have this condition of obesity or overweight. So it was really about prevention. I know that sounds kind of strange because if someone has obesity, they already have this condition, but it can get a lot worse from there. And that's what I was interested in preventing.
So what approach do you take? Is it about your diet, the food you eat, supplements that are needed? So what is your approach to help women?
Supplements are like way, way later on. So, and I know there are a lot of gimmicky things out there where, you know, take this bar, do this shake, take these supplements. For me, that's all, well, if we need to, we'll address that later on. It's the thing about most people who have overweight or obesity, the most of the issues are more behavioral. So mindset stuff. So that's really where most of the work happens, is in the mindset shifts. And there's a whole world of what we can do in that area for people. So yes, we obviously have to address the nutrition, but it's in a very gentle, compassionate, gradual way. And I often like to say that, you know, what we want to do is kind of dance this fine line between striving and thriving. So striving is what the diet industry wants you to do. Just, you know, do more and work harder and don't eat this and don't eat that. Yes, to a certain extent, we do have to address the diet, but we also have to enjoy the ride, which is where the thriving comes in. So I like to merge the two and not, I don't have a specific diet. We personalize it to each person. And we really encourage people to enjoy the ride. Because if you're not enjoying the ride, it's probably going to be a short one and a painful one. Mm-hmm. And then you're just going to want to hurry up and go back to the way you were eating before, which doesn't really get you anywhere in the end. It just causes a lot of pain and trauma.
What about genetics? Does that play a factor too? You know, running in families and...
There are so many genetic factors that can affect someone in their ability to, even beyond weight loss, because really what we're doing is we're helping people improve their health. The weight loss is sort of a byproduct of improved health. So there are a lot of genetic factors that could come into play. Some people do have, a more kind of dense body type, but it could also be that someone, you know, if you really get into the genetics, you can find some people actually, they don't tolerate carbohydrates as well as someone else. So if they eat a lot of them, then they tend to gain weight. Or someone could be prone to depression. And then that, you know, then they're maybe eating a lot of times just to feel better. So there are so many genetic factors, but obviously environment is a huge part as well.
Yeah, it's finding a balance between all that. So what are some of the daily practices that help you stay on track with a healthy, you know, we're talking about a healthy lifestyle here.
Exactly. This is really about a lifestyle. It's not about, oh, I'm just going to restrict these five things and then take a magic pill. So, you know, over the years, I've just kind of done so many different things and I have tried some of those bad diets. I actually eat what one would probably call a balanced diet. And I try not to overeat, but I think a really important thing is being active. So I do every morning I walk. I take a walk. I either walk or I take a short hike. Nothing crazy, but I'm outdoors for 45 minutes to an hour every morning. I think it's great for one of the best things you can do for your health is take a morning walk. I mean, it has so many downstream effects. It'll help you sleep better. It'll help your mood. You know, you are getting in some physical activity. You're getting in some natural light on your eyes. So that's something I do every day. I also have found that meditation is a wonderful, wonderful practice because, you know, a lot of this work is about being aware, self-aware. And so meditation does that, right? If you meditate in the morning or you pray, even prayer, when I say meditation, I think I want to expand that to any kind of internal spiritual or not process that you would do, but it brings awareness for the whole day, not just while you're meditating. So those are some things that I've I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, those are good practices. Walking, does that need to be in the morning? Does that make a difference? I often walk in the afternoon.
I think we could be walking a lot throughout the day, not just once. We could walk more than once. If the only time you can do it is in the afternoon, go in the afternoon. You will get probably more, depending on what time. You might get more vitamin D production if you're going when the sun's out, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But really, we're designed to move. So do it whenever you can. And then if you can add more, add more. But, you know, part of this whole thing is not feeling guilty about what you're not doing or second guessing yourself for I'm not doing it right. That's a big part of it, what trips us up. And I'm just as a victim to it. I realized not that long ago, actually, I was like, I criticize myself a lot. And that was where the meditation and the awareness came in to realize that I was doing that. And to one little thing that I like to practice is if I find myself criticizing myself or someone else, I have to give an appreciation. So it's sort of like, you know, the moms, they have their children put the quarter in the jar every time they say something mean. It's kind of like that. And so, hey, if I find myself criticizing myself, then maybe I can say something nice about myself. Sorry, I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but any time that you can walk is great, is what it comes down to.
Well, I was saying when you're talking about that, yeah, we do have a lot of negative self-talk. And one thing I've been learning lately is just to reframe things. When you catch yourself, mm-hmm. just reframe it and put it to an appreciation. What you might be negative about, other people might appreciate in you. You know, you just don't. You know, we don't know. I was thinking when I used to go to a gym in the morning, like I'd have a lot more energy for the day. And sometimes if I don't go in the morning, it doesn't happen. But walking's a whole other thing. I can make that happen.
Yeah, so it's usually easier to get motivated.
Yeah. So another aspect of what you teach, like to educate women about, is body wisdom. So let's talk about that.
So I kind of have two realms that I think of when it comes to body wisdom. One is more physical, right? Like if I eat enough protein at breakfast, I notice I have more energy. If I go to the gym in the morning, I notice I have more energy, what you just said, right? So, you know, looking at your practices, your health practices, and listening to the internal messages that the body is sending us all day long, and just tapping into that. So part of the problem with the diet industry and with the health industry in general is that there's a lot of, this is the way you should be eating and this is the way you should be exercising. And if you're not doing it that way, then you're doing it wrong. I kind of reject all that. And I say, why don't we just try it out? If it's appealing to you, try it out. And then how do you feel? Do you have more energy or do you feel sluggish? Well, if you have a croissant for breakfast, you're probably going to feel sluggish, but not necessarily. So, you know, kind of using those feedback loops that the body gives us all the time to tap into the inner wisdom that we all have about how to eat, how to move, how to sleep, how to meditate, all of that stuff. So that's one end, which is very physical. But then there's also just that body wisdom beyond that, you know, that, like I was talking about earlier, that awareness. And because when it comes to emotions, we've been taught societally, culturally, you know, even if you're excited, it's not cool to be too excited about things. I mean, when you're a kid, you scream and you jump up and down and it's fabulous, right? If you're an adult and you do that, there's something wrong with you. So we really are taught, you know, fear, anger, sadness, joy, all of that, we kind of got to temper that down and don't get too angry. And so there's another whole aspect to body wisdom of actually tapping into the body and saying, wow, my heart is racing right now. What does that mean? Or every time my husband makes that comment, I feel a little jolt inside. No, let me just pay attention to that. I wonder what's underneath that, what emotions are underneath it. So that's kind of the two sides to body wisdom.
Right. Yeah. It's really paying attention and listening. And that helps with the meditation and taking the walk. You slow down. You're more able to listen to your body and that wisdom that it has. So important. So getting back to eating, is it all about finding the right food to have a healthy diet, or?
Yes. I have two basic rules about nutrition. One is whole foods are nutritionally superior to processed foods. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you may really enjoy eating macaroni and cheese, but it's definitely more nutritionally more superior for you to have something that's whole food, right? So, you know, wild rice with something not processed cheese, you know. So that's a really important part, because if all the foods that you were choosing from were whole foods, it would matter a lot less what you were eating. It's very important to you know, kind of shift in that direction of eating whole foods. Once you do that, you're nutritionally, the bar has been raised without getting complicated about low carb or, you know, all these fancy diets that are out there. So that's rule number one. And the second rule is really just the macronutrients, which are protein, fat, and carbohydrates, to pay attention to what works for you. So for some people, I'll use myself as an example. If I don't have some kind of fish or meat or eggs at lunch, I get hungry pretty soon, and I always have cravings at night. And that's just something I've learned about my body. So that may not be the same for you. Maybe you could have a salad for lunch and you're totally happy. Maybe you could have a bowl of fresh fruit for breakfast. That would leave me hungry and my head dizzy. So really paying attention to the macronutrients can help you. So using the body wisdom together with looking at your plate and saying, okay, where's the protein? Where's the fiber? Where's the fat? So that's it. That's my schematic, I guess you could say. But of course, when we work with clients one-on-one, we get into a lot more detail about that.
Right. That reminds me, I was watching a show on food and what we think breakfast is. And we go out, especially we eat out, you know, eggs and bacon and hash browns and all these things. And or you have a cereal or whatever you do. And that may not be the healthiest breakfast. And it was a statement of, you don't have to have a typical breakfast for breakfast. Like one of the healthiest breakfasts is kind of like a pho soup. And I actually did that today. So it's kind of interesting, like, to rethink, well, what is breakfast for you and what do you need? It doesn't have to be a traditional breakfast of what we think breakfast is for what's healthy for us.
I lived in Japan for 7 years and you know, you're eating fish and rice and soup and vegetables for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I agree.
Yeah. Also, when you were talking, I was thinking of that learning that, and I do it too. Food is on the outside aisles of the grocery stores. The inside aisles have mostly the processed food. Now, sometimes you need things. You need a can of canned tomatoes, or you need something in there. But the real food is on the outer edges.
I love that. That's such a great reminder, because you don't have to think, because sometimes this gets a little overwhelming to try to figure it out. It's like, yeah, the eggs, the produce, you know, maybe you have some dried beans over there. And it's definitely a simple way to look at it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And we have so much going on of, you know, paleo diets and what are the keto diets and all these, it gets mm-hmm. a little, it almost gets to be too much, you know, versus, like, I think what you're saying is, don't worry about it. Just eat good food, eat nutritious food.
Yeah. Eat whole foods and just pay attention, because even like, you know, like I said, maybe a bowl of oatmeal or a bowl of fruit would work for you. Whereas for me, that just wouldn't be enough. But I'll have a couple of eggs and a smoothie, and I'm totally happy. So, you know, you kind of want to bring in both sides of that, because a bowl of oatmeal or a bowl of fruit is still whole foods, but it might still not be the right thing for you.
Yeah. So yeah. And to look at what's right for you versus you watch what other people doing that may not be right for you. Yeah. So again, it's paying attention to yourself, listening to, like, when you're eating, like you said, does this make me feel good?
Yeah.
Am I sluggish afterwards? Or do I have a little more energy? and paying attention to what foods bring you that. So it's great reminders. So then also, I mean, one of the aspects of your work is, you know, diet and lifestyle affecting our whole life, our work, our productivity and all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense that if you ate a breakfast, like a bowl of cereal, you're not going to have the brain power, the mood, even it could affect your mood. So what you put into your body, you know, I sometimes I joke and I say, well, do you want to run like a, you know, a Datsun or do you want to run like a Tesla? So if you want to run like a Tesla, you have to put the right fuel in and then things run much more smoothly. And in the workshop, I'm going to bring up 6 different factors you can pay attention to in your body to kind of get an idea of, oh, am I going in the right direction or away from it? So energy, mood, and mental clarity are very important. Those are 3 of them. And if you think about the work that you do every day, man, if you're not focused and clear and sharp, it's hard to be creative. It's hard to be patient with people. So, and obviously much more than food. That's just food. There's sleep. I mean, if, you know, just not getting a good night's sleep will pretty much ruin your day. So, and obviously physical activity, meditation, and stress management, all of that kind of, and now I feel like I'm saying too much. It's a little overwhelming. So, you know, whatever someone is working on, just focus on what's in front of you. And don't, if your sleep isn't perfect and you're working on your diet, great. There's always going to be time to work on more of the other things. So you don't have to try to do it all at once. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, and our bodies are quite amazing. And we put our bodies down a lot. You know, we complain about our bodies. We don't like certain, even if we're not overweight, you know, we think we're overweight, our thighs are too big, and we're always, instead of appreciating our bodies and loving it and allowing the body to carry us forward in the day. I mean, that mental activity of doing that probably plays a big role too on our lifestyle and how we go about our life.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. It's so important. And that's why I was saying the awareness, you know, is so important, because you can really, really, it's so easy to fall into that trap of beating ourselves up about the littlest things. There is evidence. I mean, we're kind of built that way neurologically, like, you know, to sort of scope out for bad things or for stress. So, you know, that negative tendency that we kind of have, I think, is natural. So in order to counter it, it takes a little bit of extra work to be aware throughout the day and say, oh, there I go again, criticizing my belly or my butt or my boobs or my nose or, you know, whatever it is. And I do believe that women have much more of a tendency to criticize our own physical bodies than men do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's never enough. We're never good enough. And it's funny, I was talking to someone about this recently, how, you know, I'm 51 and she's my age. And when we were 20, I mean, you know, I wouldn't mind having my 20-year-old body right now, but when I was 20, it wasn't enough. And when I was 25, it wasn't enough. So when does it end? You know, we have to stop it ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's good to look at old pictures back then, because I was thinking in a certain way, feeling like, oh, I'm overweight, my thighs are too big. I saw myself in a picture in a swimsuit in Hawaii, and I went, I'd give anything to be that weight again. That was not, I wasn't heavy. What are those thighs I was complaining about? I don't see them in this photo.
Yeah, and that's, we're taught from an early age to do that. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yes. Well, I want to end with one last question that I ask everybody, is how your workshop fits in with our theme, celebrating our sacred pearls, honoring or nourishing, same thing, but nourishing the waters of the feminine.
Ooh, I love that. So sacred pearls, I would say the body wisdom part is really ties into that. you know, honoring. It is sacred. It is sacred. The wisdom that we have about ourselves is sacred. And we, again, tend to discount that. And, you know, there's a whole part that we didn't even really get into, but pursuing pleasure that I'll talk about. It's very, very important for me to get across to people that pleasure is crucial for health. And I know that's not something that people talk about a lot, but it's like, let's have fun with this. Let's enjoy the process. And go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just thinking, if you're doing something you love, you feel better about yourself and you'll probably eat better too. You won't be stuffing your face with a bag of potato chips.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. And I think it ties into, again, the squashing down of the feelings, because that's another thing that we're taught at an early age is stop crying. Here's the bottle, or here's the boob, or here's the cracker, or, you know, whatever. I mean, I did that with my kids. I'll admit it. I'm, you know, once your kids are older, you can admit you're not a perfect mom. So, you know, finding other ways to satiate and nourish yourself than food. Mm-hmm. And so there's this sacred pearl. I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
No.
Oh, sacred pearls. And the second part was?
Oh, nourishing the waters of the feminine.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I will say that I've been talking and thinking about a lot lately is that I think we should give ourselves permission. And I bet you know, people will talk about this, but giving ourselves permission to be who we are as women, which is way more powerful than we think we are. I believe this. I believe that I actually have a memory, an emotional memory of when I was a kid feeling like, why is everybody always telling me to be quiet? Why are they telling me to calm down? Why, you know, I was like gregarious. And so I was taught, you know, and I felt my power slipping away. Only as an adult do you realize it though. And so I think maybe along those lines of the feminine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we give birth. And I think, again, the self-love, which is something I always talk about. Let's honor ourselves for the power that we have. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the show today and for being part of Woman of Wisdom.
Thank you for having me. I'm super, super excited about it. And I invited my mom to come.
Okay. Well, yeah, everybody go to womanofwisdom.org. You can find Jill's workshop and all the other workshops and register. It's March 24th through the 27th. It's womanofwisdom.org. And also go to Jill's website, jillcruz.com. Okay, so thanks for listening today.